Hey, Grandview. I'm not sure if you noticed, but our little church is in the midst of some big shifts. Our staff is changing in some major ways. Two of the three church pastors that have been a team for nearly a decade have or are transitioning out of their roles. COVID has shifted the way we live and radically changed how we relate to one another. And if you've been for walks by the church, you've noticed the most significant change of all. The church sign facing First Avenue has been taken down. I'll pause to let you catch your breath. Yes, all that remains of the big white letters that said Grandview Calvary Baptist Church are the shadows of unsun-bleached paint. But those shadows are next to a beautiful green cross. It's a pretty good deal. It's not just our church that's been changing. Our neighborhood has shifted too. Gentrification has been doing its thing in the Grandview Woodlands for a long time. Not all the change has been bad. Personally, I'm not lamenting fancy fried chicken or yummy cinnamon rolls moving on to the drive, but the changes have transformed the neighborhood thoroughly. Many of the things that made the Grandview Woodlands feel distinct have moved away. Many of our neighbors have been forced out. Even though our church building hasn't moved, in some ways it feels like our church exists in a different place than it did. Grandview Church feels like it's in a different neighborhood than it was 25 years ago. All this change is disorienting. One of the biggest changes in my life was moving from the Puget Sound up to Vancouver. It's not far geographically, but for me, it was a major shift. Canada is not the United States. For me, those first few years living in Canada felt a little strange. During that time, I held tightly to the stories and practices that connected me to my hometown. Those stories and practices were a part of my identity. For me, that meant following sports more closely. Decorating my home with the knickknacks of Seattle, I had my Ken Griffey Jr. baseball cards. Pretty sweet. And my Steve Largent Wheeze box. These were tangible ways for me to feel like me. Our passage today is Jeremiah 29. This passage is addressed to a group of people who have been displaced from their home. God's people had been taken away from their homeland and were now in Babylon. They were disoriented and befuddled by the challenges of being God's covenant people in a place that was not their promised land. It was hard for these exiles to feel like themselves in a place that wasn't their special land. How could they sing the songs of their hometown when they were stuck in Babylon? How could they connect with the stories and practices that carried their collective sense of self? These are exile challenges. In that exile place, God's people were homesick. They wanted things to go back to the way they were, to return to normal life. Their ears perked up any time they heard someone talk about a quick return. Jeremiah was the prophet who had the unhappy job of dashing those hopes of quick returns to normal life. God did not give Jeremiah pleasant messages to deliver. Jeremiah wrote to the Judeans in Babylon saying, "Put down roots where you're at, because you're going to be there a long time." Verse 10 tells the exiles it will be 70 years till God brings the Judeans back. In scripture, 70 years signifies completion. They'll be there until the exile is completed. The consequences aren't forever, but they won't be interrupted. There will be no shortcuts. Because the Judeans will be there a long time, God tells these exiles to plant gardens, get married, and build houses. God tells them to put down roots and seek the peace and flourishing of the place where God has brought them. God's instructions to those experiencing the discomfort of exile were to live in the reality of that new place, not to listen to the comfortable lies. The instructions are to be faithfully present in an uncomfortable place. The discomfort and disorientation of exile times is difficult to experience. One of my favorite explorations of that discomfort and disorientation comes from one of my homeland's greatest musicians, Kurt Cobain. Most of Cobain's lyrics make very, very little sense to me, but one Nirvana song stands out for its straightforward storytelling. The song is called Sliver, and it's written from the point of view of a kid who's dropped off at his grandma's house by his parents. The kid did not want to be at grandma's house. This change in location was not a welcomed one. The entire chorus of the song is, "Grandma, take me home." The chorus is repeated over and over and over and over and over again. This is a child's tantrum set to punk rock. The Judeans living in Babylon would have nodded their heads at the kid's persistent longing for home. Jeremiah would have nodded his head at the grandma's advice to the kid. Grandma told the kid, "Stop crying. Go outside and ride your bike." Grandma's advice was to get on with the business of being a kid, right where the kid was. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles said the same thing. They needed to get on with the business of being God's people in the place where God placed them. 20 plus years ago, this neighborhood looked different. It was a bit more rough around the edges. Most of Grandview's congregation had moved out of the neighborhood. When Pastor Tim started at Grandview, he made an effort to encourage those people to move back to the neighborhood. One sermon in particular kicked off that effort, a sermon on this Jeremiah text. This Jeremiah text is part of our specific Grandview story. It is one of the seeds that our neighborhood focus grew out of. Those Grandviewers 20 years ago looked around at the neighborhood and began to wonder what it would look like to seek the flourishing of our city. Our particular practices and stories, our identity, grew out of wondering what faithful presence looks like right here in the Grandview Woodlands. This text and that story of moving back into the neighborhood is important for us to spend time with during these disorienting times, these COVID times that feel like an exile. The neighborhood has changed a lot since Tim preached on Jeremiah 29 that first time. There is a real sense that we are dislocated from the context of that particular origin story. COVID has heightened that sense of dislocation and disorientation. Our church's emphasis on physical presence in the neighborhood isn't as easily lived out right now. It is difficult to know what the needs of our neighbors are or how to meet those needs. There is a temptation during these transitional and uncomfortable times to get stuck in wanting to go back. There is a part of me that's throwing a tantrum, telling God to take me home, back to the pre-COVID life, back to the relative stability we had as a church 3 years ago. One of my favorite things about the passage in Jeremiah and the Nirvana song is the hope offered in those two stories. The Nirvana song ends with a verse about the kid eating ice cream and falling asleep watching TV. The kid accepted his circumstances and got on with the business of being a kid, which is ice cream, TV, and naps. It was when he did that he woke up in his mother's arms. He received in his mother's presence that longing for home. In Jeremiah 29, God promises that when the Judeans seek him with their heart, in that uncomfortable place, when they plant those gardens and build those houses, God promises that they will find him. He will listen to them. When God's people are faithfully present in uncomfortable circumstances, then God's presence is with them. So, how can we be faithfully present in our gentrified neighborhood? How can we seek the flourishing of this neighborhood during a worldwide pandemic? How can we get on with the business of being the church when we can't actually meet together? I do not have complete answers to those questions. Those are good wondering questions. As a congregation, We need to wrestle, ruminate, and contemplate those questions. That mulling it over work is a big part of our vocation as people trying to bear witness to the love of God. For my attempt at those questions, I'm going to take off my preacher hat and put on my care team member hat. This is my care team member hat, at least for today. Over the past month and a half, a few of us Grandviewers have been meeting weekly on Zoom to try and figure out how to care for our community during this time of COVID. There's been a lot of good work done. One of the biggest and simplest needs that we've identified is conversation. We need our community to be calling each other and talking. COVID threatens to leave many of the most vulnerable in our neighborhood isolated. When people are isolated, it's hard to help because the needs aren't known. When we connect with our neighbors and each other through chit-chat on the phone or socially distanced front yards, we make it possible for our needs to be known and met. When we are faithfully present over the phone or in person, we actually mediate the love and presence of God. I know conversation doesn't seem world-changing right now, but it is one of the most tangible ways that we can seek the peace of our city. It doesn't end, that shouldn't be the end of our wondering about how to be faithfully present, but I think that those conversations with each other and our neighbors are good places to start that wondering.